Hello, and welcome to The Life of an Entrepreneur. I'm Jan McCarthy with Entrepreneurial Voice, and we are broadcasting live from skidrowstudios.com. We're real radio on the internet coming from downtown, and we're here every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we're here to talk about what it's like to be an entrepreneur and share some business tips. We'd love to hear from you if you have questions. You can call at 1-800-893-9562. You think I would have that number memorized by now. But I am very, very excited today because I'm interviewing Kimberly Fowler, who founded and started Yaz Fitness Centers. And we're here also with Sherry and V. And so welcome all of you. We're going to have a great discussion today talking about entrepreneurial life and sharing stories of how you get started and some of the things that you might have to go through. So, Kimberly, why don't you start with just kind of telling your story. What is Yaz to begin with?
Well, Yaz, it's a combination of yoga and spinning. It's I started it back in 2001 when no one had actually combined the two. So it's interesting because it's taken off. Since it was a new concept, it was a little challenging in the beginning, but now. So we also have a clothing line and DVDs, books, so
water bottles.
Water bottles. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's all great. You're very, very accomplished. So, you know, you and I have talked about that you're the face of your business. And so what was the inspiration for you taking yoga and spinning and putting them together?
Well, I was in the corporate world. I was a lawyer for 18 years. And then I was a COO of a very large company. And I had a climbing accident, which put me out of commission for about 6 months and couldn't do my job and had to figure out, okay, what are you going to do with your life? Most people wanted me to go back into law. And I thought it was probably the easiest transition is just to go back to being a lawyer. And I didn't quite, it wasn't resonating with me that that's, you know, should be what I do. And I, my loves were, or are, yoga and spinning. And it was my workout forever. And I was going from a, spin class to a yoga class and very frustrated that nobody, had them in under one building. And I just couldn't understand it. I thought it was, it's so logical. And I went, I think I'm going to open up a yoga and spin studio. So that was that's how it started. It was just out of frustration.
So a real light bulb moment.
Yeah, exactly. It was, and then telling everybody that's what you're going to do. And I was in my 40s and no one, not one person believed in it. I mean, all my friends thought I was nuts. I got all kinds of comments like, I got that I was too old. one of my best friends said that to me. You're way too old to go into the fitness industry. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, wow, that's cold.
Our friends are always there for us,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. So, basically that's how it started.
Well, I love that you brought up a couple of important points that a lot of times we launch a business, especially women, we launch a business from a place of pain or passion. Right. And yours was kind of from a pain because you were traveling back and forth to the two different locations to try and get your workout in. And so, great, had that light bulb moment and said, well, if I like it, somebody else must like that too. Yeah. And then often as launching a business, we have a lot of naysayers who say, no, this is not going to work. And I actually want to know how you kind of overcome that. I was listening to Matthew McConaughey on the Golden Globes the other night, and he said Dallas Buyers Club was turned down 86 times. Okay. I mean, that takes a lot of persistence and drive and belief in what it is that you're doing. So how did you overcome, especially when those closest to you that you, we tend to kind of trust a little bit more, feel like they're really looking out for us, and what are they seeing that we don't see? How do you overcome the naysayers? How did you keep moving forward?
Well, I mean, for me, it's like you tell me I can't do something and I'm going to do it. It actually fueled me in a way. You know, it's just like, no, I mean, I can do this. And I had, you know, I was just running a $200 million company, like running a business. I could, you know, definitely. And I could run circles around my friends. So I knew I could do it, even though I was too old. So
never too old. We've got a list of people who were old when they did their first thing, too.
Well, that's what I used. I when people were telling me I couldn't do it, I was like, well, Martha Stewart, you know, launched her company in her 40s, and it's a $1 billion company. So, hello. I had explained why, and I would use that as an example how many people had started companies, women in their 40s. And
yeah, Julia Childs was in her 50s,
right?
And Ray Kroc was in his 50s, and you know, there's, the list goes on. So I'm really I'm really happy that you said, yeah, this doesn't matter how old I am, it's never too late to do what you want to do. And I hope that that's the message that will come through to our listeners and right. and others that we come in contact with. Was it a little scary, though, to go from, I mean, did you grow up in an entrepreneurial family? I mean, how do you get the guts to go from being an attorney to, okay, I'm going, even though you were running a very large company, how do you get the guts to kind of take that leap? It's fearful for a lot of people. How did you move past that, or did it, you even think about it?
Well, I mean, I grew up really poor. I mean, no one in my family had gone to college. None of them. My dad actually was a painter. So in a way, I mean, house painter, not a painter. But, and I think he did that more because he couldn't keep a job. My family, you know, my dad died homeless at 40. So I didn't have any role models growing up. To even go to college or to do anything really in my life. But so when I, you know, became an, you know, wanted to become an entrepreneur, it was just more like you just, you know, I never let my background stop me. You know, it was like, you know, I actually look at it like I wouldn't be who I am right now without having to go through those struggles, you know, when I was growing up. I've been working since, I can't even remember when I didn't work. So I have that that drive in me. And, you know, I've had to work, and I like to work. So that's just sort of something I popped out of the womb with. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it kind of brings up the question, you know, do you think an entrepreneur is born, or do you think that they're made?
Well, I really think I was born this way. I think it could probably be, what, you know, a little of both, but I remember trading. I had, this is a funny story, when I'm really young, I remember trading some snapper turtles that I found for some beautiful rabbits that one of my neighbors, my parents had bought them, and I did this trade because I want, you know, so I've always, you know, it's always been in me, and I think I was probably like 4 or 5 years old at the time.
That's really fantastic. I love that. I think it's an interesting question, and I think you're born, but you're also made. I think you're born with the traits,
right.
And then obviously there's things that you need to learn. What do you think, Sherry?
Well, my parents, my father was an entrepreneur. He had his own company, so I mean, and I'm an entrepreneur too, and I have that spirit. I always have. I don't like working for other people. I don't stop working.
Is that
either.
What's wrong with all of us?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've done it before, but it's not my comfort zone.
Yeah, yeah. And tell our listeners what you do with Yaz Fitness Centers.
I'm the vice president of all things Yaz, and that is actually on my card.
I love that.
So that means I pretty much do everything, you know, a lot of different things.
And V, why don't you chime in here? You can talk right into the mic there. Just tell us who you are and what you do with Yaz.
I'm the consulting director of sales and marketing for Yaz Fitness Centers.
Great. Thank you. And do you think entrepreneurs are born or made?
I think it's a combination of both. I didn't come from an entrepreneurial family, but I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. And I am like Sherry. I can work with other people, but my comfort zone is to work with entrepreneurs, not in big corporations with cubicles and things like that, typically.
Yeah. Sounds great. Well, so when you started Yaz, what were your hopes and dreams with all of that? I mean, you've franchised Yaz successfully. You have several locations. You're continuing to grow. Like you said, you have books, you have CDs, you have tapes, you have clothes, you have water bottles, you have you have all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's amazing, and you've really taken this concept and you've grown your business tremendously. Is that how you envisioned it when you first started out?
No, I mean, actually, in my business plan, I thought I'd have 8 open within the first year. That was my goal. I thought that was a logical amount. I never.
So you don't come out of the chute thinking small, do you?
Yeah. I never thought I would teach. I never, becoming the face of my business was not something that I ever thought I would do. It's just that was something that Sherry actually talked me into. But I'd always been behind the scenes. You know, lawyers are behind the scenes. You know, you're helping your clients. I was the COO, I was running the company. The CEO of the company was the face of the business, and you were there to support, you know, the CEO. So becoming the, you know, the face was never something I had planned. So, no, it definitely isn't what I first envisioned.
Well, it's worked tremendously for you, and I think it is really important for, I mean, we all want to be involved with a business with someone that we think we know, we like, and we trust. Sherry, how did you have that foresight to push that forward and convince her to get out there in the forefront?
Well, I mean, Kimberly has a really good story, and I thought that because she was a lawyer and because she was a COO, she has a certain edge about her that's a little, it could be difficult to understand, and we're in this industry that's very touchy-feely, and I think that she was having conflict because people weren't quite, they would think that she should be a certain way. And they really didn't understand why she wasn't, and it wasn't really working out very well for her. And I thought, okay, well, they need to know more about you. And you've got this incredible, you know, survival story. She's a cancer survivor. She's done all these amazing things, coming from such a poor background. You know, it just explains a lot as to why she is the way she is. And then it also makes her somebody that you would want to aspire to be and respect. So, just kind of thinking about all that's really important for people to know.
Yeah.
And when we did put that story out there, the world kind of opened up, and I thought that was a really important thing to do.
I think so too, and I love that you did that, and I think that someone can definitely take a page from your book and helping to let people really be more real and more authentic, and right. And it's not just coming to your studio and taking a class. It's coming to your studio and taking a class and sharing, you know, with you what their goals are and what they're trying to overcome and achieve through taking the classes at your studio. And even if you're not in every single studio, your story resonates with everyone. And just even, like you said, overcoming the challenges that you have And also making it more convenient, too, for those who really enjoy getting a workout and practicing the yoga as well.
Right. I think, too, that it made people feel much more comfortable coming into the studio because we're very accessible, right. You know, and because Kimberly shared such a private thing, people felt inclined to come in and share stuff with her, you know, that we've, you know, people that are going through cancer treatments or have gone through it, they just feel very comfortable coming to Yaz because they know, you know, this is her place.
Yeah. It's great for anybody who's never been. You need to go.
I agree.
If anybody has any questions, we'd love to hear from you. Again, our number is 1-800-893-9562. You can call in to talk to me, to talk to Kimberly, Sherry, V. You can ask us any of us questions, and we'd love to hear from you. So who inspires you?
Well, you know, I was asked that question. Los Angeles Magazine had come to me, and they listed like the top fitness pioneers of you know, Los Angeles, and I was on this short list with Richard Simmons and, you know, Tony Horton, and, you know, it was like, wow, like,
and Jane Fonda was on that too, right?
I think so. Yeah, it was just like, wow. I mean, that was such a wonderful validation, but that was a question they asked, like, who inspired you? And it was difficult. I mean, I'm, you know, obviously inspired by, you know, like the Martha Stewarts, the, you know, Oprahs and, you know, of the world. And I didn't really, it was a hard, you know, question to answer for me because I really didn't have that, you know, inspiration growing up. But I mean, some of my students inspire me. I mean, wow, because I know what they're going through. They share that with me. And it's sort of like what Sherry was saying. Like, I've gone through a lot, but in a never, you know, you don't know about it. Mm-hmm. And it's a really wonderful feeling when someone shares what they're going through. And out in the world, they don't share that with people. And so I know so many stories. I mean, you know, I look around Yaz, and I know a lot about a lot of, you know, a lot of people, a lot of our students. So that inspires me. You know, I just go, wow. And they're going, and they're, you know, doing their best, and they have a lot of stuff going on.
Well, you really, I mean, you have such compassion about you. And I'm sure that while you're being inspired by them, they're continuing to be inspired by you. And it's just a really great thing to keep moving it up and kind of encouraging each other on a daily and regular basis. How do you motivate yourself? I mean, obviously you've got a lot of responsibilities, but do you sometimes just get like tired? Say, okay, I just want to get away from this for a little bit and take a vacation. You know, so how do you constantly get re-enthused and thinking up new things and staying fresh for yourself being in this business?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty self-motivated. That's something that I do think I was born with. I'm constantly, I have a lot of drive. I'm in an industry that, you know, you're always helping people. So, you know, it's, you know, you have a lot of responsibility. You have a lot of, you know, it's like, I don't really call it a burden, but, you know, I feel a responsibility to keep moving forward and keep thinking. And, you know, and I have a lot of women entrepreneurs that look to me, and I mentor them. And, you know, so, and I like my work. So, so I think that's the drive. I do have a passion for what I do. And, you know, it's been almost, you know, 12 and a half years, and I still have a passion for my business.
Well, it is very clear. And obviously, I mean, to just hearing a little bit about your background, it must have taken tremendous courage and tremendous drive to say, okay, I'm not going to stay in this situation. I want something better for myself. Was there somebody that you looked up to at when you were growing up that made you even realize that there was something else you could do to not stay in those same circumstances?
Well, it's funny because when I were talking about it this morning, I was talking about when I was in high school, I was invited to a prom, at a very expensive prep school I grew up in New Jersey.
So I was just going to say, where'd you grow up?
Yes, South Jersey, not far from Atlantic City. And this prom was Penn Charter, and it's like on the main line in Philadelphia. And I got invited to this prom, and I didn't have a dress. And so I had to make a prom dress, out of some clothes that fabrics that my grandmother had. It was just this whole, thing, and I ran away from home because I was only like 13 years old and they thought I was older. And I got to, these homes were I grew up really poor, and then you're seeing, wow, look at this. I'd never seen homes like this. It was hard for me because I had everybody looking at this, dress, handmade dress, and here's all these rich kids, and I didn't have the the cultural background that they all did, and when they drove me home and they saw where I lived, they all looked and they went, "This is where you live?" And at that moment, and it was that moment right there, I went, "I'm getting out of here. There's more out there." And without that, even though it was very painful and embarrassing, mm-hmm. It changed my life. I was, like freshman in high school, and I went, how do I get to college? Because all everybody was talking about was college, where they're going to college, because it's their,
sure.
their rights. That's what you talk about. And I went, wow, okay. It's not even a thought for me, or no one in my family had gone to college. It wasn't even college. So I went, how do I go to college? Let's figure this out. And, that motivated me at that point.
Well, I love that you took something that was so devastating and hard for you, and you looked at it in a positive light, or, maybe not at that time, but certainly to be able to go back, and instead of saying, oh, poor me, what can I do? We do have to, we have the wherewithal to change our circumstances. We have to sometimes look for those opportunities. And so I'm assuming you had to look for the opportunities of, how do I go to college? How do I go to college when I don't have a family that's going to financially support me in college? So what do I need to do, and start doing it now and taking action? Sort of just very indicative of why you're successful today, because you're one of those who gets it done. You take action, you move forward, and you do what you have to do, and you create a vision in your right. in your head of what it is that you want. So I think that's something that everybody can learn from and take from, and you are such a great mentor, so if people can look at that and say, yeah, I can do that too. I don't have to be defined by my circumstances,
right.
Or by my limitations.
Right.
I think that's really, really great, great advice. What's your proudest moment?
Well, I remember when I got accepted to law school, because, I had the thought of, even going to college and then to get accepted into law school. I remember just sitting there and I saw it, and I just went, wow. Wow, soak that in. That was such a, it was beyond the goal I had. My goal was to go to college. And then so, that, which, was amazing that I was able to do that. And then to go beyond that and go to law school. I don't know if it's the proudest moment of my life, but I just remember that feeling. like just sitting there going, wow, wow, girl, like, look at that.
You did it.
You did it. Yeah.
Now, what about, because I think about how many lives you've touched. I know that you've been a speaker at many things. You've been written up in many magazines. Very lucky to have you here to be able to interview you. You've been on book tours. I mean, you know, all kinds of stuff. But when I see you, I mean, like even taking classes with you, I think when you look out at just this large gathering, I mean, people are clamoring to come to your classes. It's got to be a very, really incredibly proud and fulfilling and gratifying moment to look at the lives that you have changed, and they are right there in front of you. And whether it's just giving them the courage to overcome things that they've had to deal with, like Sherry said, like cancer or other health issues, or just being able to go from maybe never being able to stay on a bike for more than 5 minutes, that would kind of maybe be me, to, you know, being able to go the whole hour and then come and do yoga too and just feel that comfort level, because it is, for a lot of people, it is scary to go out and take those first steps to taking control of your health. And you're really changing lives too. I mean, you've got the Flat Belly Challenge.
Yes.
Yep. Tell me more about that.
Well, Flat Belly Yoga is my my new book, and that came out in September. And I'm putting a group from each location. We have four locations, and I'm putting a group from each location on the Flat Belly Yoga Challenge, which is basically what I did with the test panel for the book. So we got some great results, and right now it's perfect timing because New Year's resolutions.
Sure.
And, you know, we had, I think my best results was this guy, Robert. He came in, and we do before and afters. He came in, and he's got, we asked him to come in a white shirt. He has baby puke on his shirt, and he's, you know, he's frumpy and tired, and he's got, like, three kids under, like, five or six. You know, it's just, like...
It's a hard life.
It's hard, yeah, you know, and he's got this big belly, and I put him on the program, and after the 31 days, we didn't recognize him. I mean, he was happy, and, you know, he lost like 21 pounds and, you know, 22 inches, and he said, I've never slept better. He goes, I just got my life back. Him and his wife did it together. And they would switch off. Like, he would go work out, and she would watch the kids, and then vice versa. And it really made this huge difference to him. He goes, first time I've slept in like 6 years. so it's, I love that.
Yeah, so I guess there's different kind of proud moments. There's proud moments of knowing that you've set that goal, and that you've exceeded something that's more than your wildest dreams of
right.
for you personally, and then to be able to look at the lives that you're changing every day, like with Robert and,
right.
and his wife, and realize that really you have totally turned their life upside down in such a positive way. That's got to be pretty fulfilling and motivating and and really goes, like, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I get emails, testimonials all the time. And if I do feel down, you know, because, you know, owning a business is tough.
Yeah,
you know, it's just
hard.
Really, it really is. It's hard. And I'll go, I have a little, you know, email file. And if I do get down, I'll open it up and just start reading and then go, okay, Fowler, snap out of it.
You know? Yeah. Well, I think it's important, do you agree, to really know what your why is, why you're doing the business that you're doing. And when you look out at these people whose lives you're changing and you've given them a place to come and feel comfortable and do something for themselves, that's got to say, yeah, this is why.
Yeah, and I think you, as a business owner, you do need to know why you're doing this.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, otherwise, you might quit.
What are some of the challenges that you've faced in starting this business?
In starting the business?
Yeah, you first started.
When I first started, location was a hard one. I was living in Santa Monica, and I thought I would just open in Santa Monica. Well, being a fitness studio, you have certain parking requirements, you know, to get permitting, and every space that I found, I couldn't get it permitted, and I was almost a year looking for a location. A friend of mine, lives in Monaco, and she had emailed me and said, "Try Venice." I'm like, Venice gang area, like, who goes to Venice? And I just went, no. And I kept on trying to find one in Santa Monica. And then remember, this was, 12 and a half years ago. And then I just couldn't find a place. And so I said, okay, I'm going to try Venice. I drove down Abbot-Kinney, and there was this dilapidated building. It was pink. The windows were broken out of. It was tagged, gang tagged. And I saw it. And I went, oh my God, that's it. And I jumped out of the car, took the broker's name down. I left my car in the middle of Abbot-Kinney, doors open, keys in the car, the whole thing. And my landlord was Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction. So that was, he was really nice, very handsome, it was like, wow, this is cool. I found the location.
So this is when your friends really said, "What are you doing?" Right?
Yeah. Not only my friends, but there was a bet on the street on Abbot-Kinney that I would never make it. Never.
Wow. Don't you feel good 12 and a half years later?
I do. And one of my best friends, Leanne Gold, I will call her out, bet against me. She has a store on Abbot-Kinney called Neptina, and she's been there like 18 years, but she never thought that I would make it. And we became friends instantly and still very close. But no one thought I would make it because it's gang. It's really bad. I mean, it was really a sketchy area back then. And so I went to start, and it was when the .com bubble burst, and my portfolio, because I just do it myself. I just planned on doing the build out myself, and I had the money. And then all of a sudden, I have no money. It's like, oh, wow. I'd already signed the lease. I'm ready to go. And I went, okay.
And had you already done all the improvements and everything too?
No.
Okay.
No.
And you didn't have a big following at this point. Nobody knew who Kimberly Fowler Fitness Centers
exactly.
was, right?
And so I went, okay, I'll just get my friends to back me. I was like, okay, I'm just going to have to figure it out. And all my friends said no for the same reasons. I was like, no, you're too old, blah, blah. What do you know about being in the fitness industry? Go back to law. It's just like, okay. So I can't even get any money from my friends. I have no money. I actually started on my credit cards. I just maxed them all out, and that's how I started my business. Now, that's stressful.
Yeah.
I had to go through, budget-wise, I have to cut money. I really need to cut this down. And my contractor was costing me, it was just about $50,000. So I could cut down $50,000 if I just cut him out and did the build out myself. And I actually, that's what I did. I was the general contractor on that building.
And did you have experience doing any of that?
No, not at all. That was really hard. And I can so see why they get the money that they do. It was awful. It really was. I'd be driving downtown where we are now, and I'd be crying. I mean, there was a couple times that I was just like, I can't do this. I can't do it. And it's like, I'd be sitting there going, come on, girl. You know, you've been through worse things. You can just figure it out. Like, just, you know, keep on driving.
Keep breathing.
Keep breathing. Keep on driving. You know, just, you know, you'll figure it out. And I did. I mean, but, and yeah. It's interesting because Venice is still my favorite location. I really.
But it's your baby.
It's my baby. I mean, and the great thing about.
Your firstborn.
It's my firstborn. Exactly. And, you know, and it's the great thing about being the general contractor was going forward and opening up other locations. People can't, you know.
They can't BS you.
Exactly. They can't because I've done this. I know what it costs, you know. So I can see the reason that happened, but boy, was it hard.
So, I mean, it really just took sheer force and sheer determination and acting like a real entrepreneur going, you know, I've got to bootstrap this. I've got to figure out a different way.
Right.
And that's really what a lot of entrepreneurship is about, is figuring out a different way to solve the problem.
Yes.
And so you, and I don't know about your other locations, Silver Lake and Orange County, but, I mean, you came to downtown before downtown was happening. I mean, so you kind of have this cutting edge about you that, okay, I'm going to go into this depressed area. And obviously you have some vision or I don't know.
Well, it is. I mean, Silver Lake was the same way. Costa Mesa, you know, it was new to have fitness down there. Not, you know, it was still a you know, the area wasn't a depressed area, but there was no fitness. Now we have in East Costa Mesa, there is a, you know, spin studio or yoga or, you know, whatever on every single corner. We have like two that are like right across the street. I could throw a, you know, brick at them. So, yeah, I look for areas like that. They're just, you know, not the shishi areas, but just up and coming, and then you become such a part of the community.
Yeah, but it does take a certain vision. I mean, we were talking earlier about downtown, and not everybody had that vision. I mean, I based what I did based on like a certain bit of knowledge of what had happened in other cities and things like that. So, how did you think about? I mean. Venice is such a hot spot now, but you didn't have a crystal ball. So what were you just listening to your gut? Were you just, was there data that you were saying, okay, look, you know, this has been improved up to this far. No reason why it shouldn't come another block. Or where were you coming from that gave you the courage to, and location is so important. I mean, yeah. It really can make or break a business. And yet now your locations are prime real estate, at least the ones I know about. So what did you use to move forward in the face of not really having that crystal ball and knowing that this would turn out to be a great location?
Well, with Venice, I did, you know, I went, okay, if you build it, they will come, you know, and that was...
Isn't that about when that movie came out?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and at first, it's like, I couldn't get my friends to come there. They were like, I am so not going to Venice. You are insane. So it started to build up around us. So with Silver Lake, it's sort of the same. Downtown just took off, like, you know, it had nothing to do with anything I knew. But it's downtown. I mean, I saw that. I went to law school in Houston, and downtown was, like, awful. And then it just built up, and it's you know, the growth of downtown. But I think the nice thing about Yaz is it brings people in. It becomes a community, and then it brings some life into that area. You know, maybe it sparks the growth I actually like to look for areas like that, because then, and they're, you know, they're not snotty. I mean, I like we were talking about that area earlier. I like areas that people are just nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you start building your clientele? I mean, if your friends wouldn't even come to this location, how did you get people you didn't even know to come?
It was very hard. I started with East passes. I made, free come to Yaz passes. And we still use these passes today. I probably have them in my purse. On the way home from doing construction, I would hit a parking lot every single day. So after being, building out Yaz, on the way home, because I was still living in Santa Monica at the time, I would flyer a parking lot. And here, it's so funny, like you're putting a flyer on a pass on a car, and you have people go, "Hey, lady, get away from my car." And you're like, "Oh my God, I used to be a lawyer. I used to be this big COO. And now people are telling me to get away from their car."
Were you in your construction clothes too?
Well, wasn't doing the construction. You basically just have to sit there.
Yeah.
So then all
you have to be there to manage it.
You have to be there. You just have to be there. So,
wow. And so that's a great story, and I think that it's something that we need to all consider. What's been your greatest failure?
Well, I mean, with me, I have high expectations, so it's like even Yaz right now, it's not where I want it to be. I'm very hard on myself. I counsel, women in business all the time, and I'm there for them, and I'm always saying, don't be so hard on yourself. But
well, it's easy to tell others
exactly
what you don't do yourself, right?
So I think, I don't know, Sherry, what would you say what do you think my biggest failure is?
Well, I mean, even Kimberly managed to turn a failure into a success story, because I would say it was franchising.
Yeah.
Making the choice to grow that way. We made some bad decisions when it came to franchisees and ended up having to buy them all back.
Right.
So, in a way it was a failure, but then we now own these locations and we learned what not to do next.
Sure.
So we're going back into franchising, we're going to try it again. But I think in terms of, I think that would be the only failure that I could really.
I agree. We made mistakes there. I really thought with franchising, I needed a bunch of mini-me's. Like I needed to face the business like little Kimberly's.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I was wrong. I was definitely, that wasn't what I needed, and it's still, even though it's a franchise, still business.
So how are you, did you just sit down and say, okay, so that didn't work? I mean, and that's really what you have to do. I mean, failures can really be great, great things, I agree, and it kind of teaches you what you don't want to do, and sometimes you don't know until you try it. I mean, there's no way that you can know everything. And how did you go about deciding? Did you sit down and say, okay, this is really what I'm looking for in a franchisee now going forward? And are you putting a plan together that these are the cities that I want to be in and all of that kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah. I sort of revamped our franchise program. We are looking for franchisees that have business backgrounds. Because as I said, it's, people forget that it is a business. It's, you have a certain model, you have a lot of help, you have, it's been successful. We have, but it is still a business and it's still work.
Well, having a clear idea of who you want to come in and do it and maybe not just being someone who's just fitness motivated. Sounds great.
Yeah, we put together a vision board basically of what exactly we want in a franchisee.
Good.
We're very clear now.
I think that's great. I mean, I think everybody should do that, not only with their customer, but in your case, the fact that you're looking for someone to represent your business, You need to know exactly who it is. So that's a great way to do it. And right. Good advice, really good advice. What do you have a motto?
Do I?
You have several.
I do.
I love mottos. I love quotes.
I'm not your guru, you are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny with I'm not your guru, you are, it was, that came out of, like, I didn't understand how, like, especially with yoga, this happens a lot. Like, people just give their power over to, you know, to people. And I'm like, you need to find that inner strength. It really is within you. And, you know, it's like, so, you know, that came out. It also came out of the time when, you know, like, I had a brain tumor when I was in law school, and I was given like 6 months to live, and had to like dig deep and find that power to just say no. And lots of times what happens is if a doctor says that you're going to die in 6 months, it just happens because you believe it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I deal with a lot of, you know, people that are, you know, been diagnosed with cancer, and they come to me and I'm like, you need to find that strength. I can't do it for you. So that's where I'm not your guru, you are, came from.
Oh, I love hearing the backstory on that. And that is really powerful. Yeah. That's great. That's really great. What do you do to unwind and unplug, and or do you ever?
Not much. I mean,
well, you do. I mean, this probably doesn't help you unwind or unplug, but I mean, I do want to bring up that you're very philanthropic, and I think that's so important in businesses today, to find something that they want to give back to. Do you want to take a minute to share that?
Well, being philanthropic was in my original business plan. It was just part of having a business. I never thought that it wasn't. It was just not even like, you know, should I do this? Shouldn't I do? It was just like, you have a business and you should help the community, or, you know, it's just help other. It's just part of, I mean, personally, it was just sort of part of having a business. And I mean, we've raised a couple $1 million for different organizations. I sit on the board of Think Cure, and it's a wonderful organization. And that's been our you know, main fundraiser. We do Yazathons every year. So you know, Think Cure is a community-based organization, and we raise money for cancer research, which is so important because, you know, really, we need to find a cure. That's the goal.
Yeah, I mean, well, you certainly have something driving you to want to make that happen. But not everybody goes into a business, especially because it's scary, thinking, oh, so how can I give back before they've even you know, made $5, you know? And even though it is I don't want to say a trend, because I hope that it's much more than that, and it's it just becomes a way of life for all the businesses. But even 12 years ago, it's not something that was on everybody's radar or their page. What do you think helped you to see how important that was?
You know, it's I don't remember what I really never thought to not do it. I mean, it wasn't, and I know it's like, you know, exactly like you said, now it's become very common, which I think is fantastic. And I really do think that every business, you know, should be philanthropic. It's just should be the DNA of having a business. But back then, it's just, you know, it's something I should do.
Well, just having that inside of you that, yeah, that kind of like your drive for everything else that,
well, and it's, you know, an opportunity. I mean, it's an opportunity to help others.
So what, we only have a few minutes left, but I mean, I could talk to you all day, you know, but, so what has been your biggest surprise?
Let's see. Well, I'm actually surprised at, you know, becoming the face of my business and, you know, like having like books and, you know, all, it's like, that's been a surprise for me. It's still, you know, even like being here and being, it's sort of a, it took a life of its own, you know, and I still think it's, you know, it's so surprising to me when I have an interview or radio interview, you know, it's just sort of like, you know. So that's been a big surprise. What do you think is the biggest surprise here?
It's not my surprise. It's your surprise. I don't know.
Well, what's your biggest surprise? How long have you been, how long have you all been together working?
Over 12 years.
Okay, so.
Yeah, basically since it opened.
Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. So you've seen everything from the beginning to the end.
Well, I mean.
It's not the end yet. But,
no,
I mean,
no.
From the beginning till
it's
now.
It's only the beginning.
It's only the beginning.
I mean, I like when we do these fundraisers and, you know, Think Cure is affiliated with the Dodgers. So when we.
Yes, you're big sports
it's
enthusiast.
Pretty. Yeah, we are big time. But when we present the check, the big check, we're on Dodger Field.
Oh, you know? So yeah, cool.
So to be on Dodger Field, you know, with all the people there and everything, that to me is just that feeling of surprise and excitement, you know. And that's, yeah. We raise this money and we get to be on the field, you know. I mean, that's pretty neat. So we get opportunities to do things and meet people that, you know, that's always very exciting and surprising.
Yeah.
Well, I have a final question that I want to ask all of you all, but do you have any dream collaborators?
What's that mean?
That means is there somebody out there that you would like to collaborate with?
Mm. Oh, that's interesting.
Like Martha Stewart.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to meet her and work with Oprah. I mean, I think... You know, cause especially since she's here, I have a TV show idea, and it would be I'd love to
on the Young Channel.
Yeah, that would, I think that would be, if I was, you know, put that out there.
Let's put it out there.
Yeah, I mean, and it's an entrepreneurial reality show, like going in and helping businesses, which, that's a dream for me. Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, let's put it out there. Didn't you say you got something you wanted the other day? And
go.
It wasn't very much. So we said put the stakes up there higher.
Exactly. A little bit higher. There you go.
All right. So what is your best, you can look at it any way you want. What is your best business advice or what advice do you wish that you had been given or known? And I'm going to ask all of you. So it can all be different, obviously. And I want to kind of know what the story behind that, your business lesson.
Well, I mean, I think, honestly, just to do it, I say, you know, I have a DVD called Overcoming Obstacles, The Secret to Success. And one of the things I talk about it is just jump. Like, if you're thinking about, just do it. Like, you will figure it out. I mean, you know, and so if you really have a passion for something and you really want to do it, then do it. So that would be my advice.
And where did you, I mean, is there something that propelled you to say, like, is it because you've done it and you've seen that even though you may be flailing as you're, after you jump off that cliff, you can go, maybe there's a parachute here. I can grab hold of that branch. Is that because of your own experience that you feel like this is one of the best business lessons to share?
Yes, exactly. It, because at any point during, you know, the startup of Yaz, if I had so many things going against me, like I would have just stopped on so many occasions. And it is, you know, like we've helped so many people and it's just like, wow, it would be a shame if Yaz didn't happen.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. All right, V, what about you? What's your best business lesson?
If you're going to do something, do it right or don't do it at all.
And so where does that come from?
My dad always just instilled that in all of us. Just give it your best, do it right, or don't do it at all. And I do everything with 100%.
I like that. Sherry, what about you?
Well, my thing is, there's always a way.
Ooh, I like that.
And I learned that from Kimberly because, you know, we'd get stuck, you know, something would happen and just, okay, there's always a way to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Always. And I never, ever think I can't figure something out. And my background is operations, so I deal with that all the time. And And there's just always a way.
Love it. Well, it has been so exciting having all of you here. Kimberly, thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you so much for your positive attitude, your can-do attitude, your encouragement, and just showing your courage in everything that you do, and coming and honoring me with your interview today. So thank you so much
for
being on the show.
I really appreciate you having me, and I love what you do. I mean, I really do.
Thank you so much.